Hello and welcome to the Radio Academy podcast with me, Roisin Hasty. I'm joined again this week by Christian Hugill, who's going to be taking over from me when I head off on maternity leave next month.
Hey Roisin, delighted to be here for this episode because not only does it feature like a proper radio legend, but also we're going to be talking about an honour very close to my heart.
Yes, this week's guest needs no better introduction than this.
Mayo, Simon Mayo, greatest hits radio.
I caught up with Simon Mayo early this month for the Radio Academy's summer social event, where he was the guest speaker to launch the Real World Radio Academy 30 Under 30 Ones to Watch list, which you, Christian, appeared on last year.
I know, it's an example of declining standards in the radio industry, isn't it, Roisin?
Don't be so hard on yourself.
No, I genuinely was over the moon. Like, it's, you know, none of us, I think, go into radio to win awards. We do it for the love of it and to make content that appeals to people. But to have a little moment of being recognised by the people in the industry that you're on the right track, that you're doing good things, it meant an awful lot to me. And it's a brilliant thing for people to apply for as well. Applications are still open until August. So listen, if you're under 30 and working in the radio industry, what have you got to lose? Absolutely nothing.
Definitely get an application in by the end of August because, yeah, look at you now. You're hosting the Radio Academy podcast, Christian.
It has quite literally led to me getting work, Roisin. You cannot say fairer than that, can you?
Totally.
But enough about me, Roisin. I am very excited to hear some of the highlights from your chat with actual radio legend Simon Mayo.
Well, we recorded the chat live in front of an audience straight after Simon had come off air from doing his Greatest Hits Drive show. So I started by asking him how the show was.
It was fine, I think, yeah. I mean, I always used to say to Ken Bruce, I would often see Ken coming out of the building as I was going in, and I said, how was the show? And it was, Ken had a particular way of working, which was, it was great, and on to the next one, you know.
Yeah.
And I thought that was absolutely the right attitude. So I think, how was the show today? I think it was fine, the music was good, and the confession was funny, and the drama was good. So I think, and I didn't mess anything up. The timings were okay.
Good, good. I mean, if you're finding the confession funny, that must be good because you've done so many of them.
I have done.
Years.
I have done quite a few. Yeah.
The bar must be high.
Yeah. No. It was a good one today. Yeah.
So it's been 16 months of your new show on Greatest Hits Radio. Do you feel like you've fully settled in there now?
Yes, I do. We started off in the studios in Camden, which was just as everyone was coming out of lockdown, just sort of easing out, because Bauer have a studio there, and that was strange because that was still very much everyone wear their mask, you know.
Yeah.
Mark Goodyear, who uses the studio in the morning, would wipe it down. I would leave a note saying, I've wiped it down. And then when I finished, I'd wipe it down and leave a note saying, I've wiped it down. And then after a while, you kind of think, did I wipe it down? I can't wipe it down. But the best studios are the ones, are the sort of the stronger studios, because we were asking, the desk that I was operating in Camden was essentially a podcast desk. We were asking it to do an awful lot. Mm-hmm. And so when the opportunity came to move into Golden Square, we took that because the stronger studios are there with proper faders. None of this kind of artificial.
You want the proper stuff, don't you?
I want a fader that I can feel and not a fader that's like on an oven hob.
Like a touch screen.
Yeah, touch screen. The touch screen ones are fine and designed by people who've never used them. So
yeah, probably.
Let's have the faders with bits of Lego on the top so you can operate it.
Yeah, they are like Lego, aren't they? I'm sure lots of people here are more than familiar with your show, but for anybody who isn't, or just to sort of enjoy it for a minute or so, we do have a clip of a little montage of your show, Simon.
Oh, really?
Hello.
It's later than you.
So what is it about Drive Time, people ask, that you love so much? To which the answer is, I haven't got a clue, but I just love it. 4 o'clock till 7 o'clock, the best time to be on the radio, the best time to listen to the radio.
Drive Time drama. Action!
There's something afoot here.
So where are we going to camp tonight? There's that hill up there, but it looks quite rocky.
Well, what about this one over here? Mind you, it's pretty deserted.
Well, I think the choice of hill we should go for is that one over there with a small wood on top.
Oh, yes.
Simon Mayo's Confessions.
It is upon the event of my army medical. Anyway, I find the medical practice in a large Victorian house with big bay windows looking out on a very grassy park. There were plenty of people in the park, mostly well-dressed ladies, a steady stream of whom I noticed were following the path that passed about 6 feet from the window. The doctor barked, "Take off your gown." I dropped the rope and adopted the at-ease position. He still didn't look up, and he said, "I'm going to give you a hearing test."
What? Oh,
I lost count of the number of ladies who now had caught an unexpected eyeful and had no idea why I'd been required to take off my robe for a hearing test.
There we go.
The whole point of radio is that you sit in a studio on your own and you do not talk to an audience like this. That's the whole point.
It's such unknown territory for us radio types, isn't it? But I think what you can hear there is the variety of features that you have developed over the years, many of which...
Some familiar features, I think.
Yeah, very familiar. And that you've taken with you to your show on Greatest Hits Radio from your time at the BBC. Was that important to you?
The idea was to have it familiar enough for listeners to find again, mm-hmm. but also to make it distinctly different from the show that was there before, other than just being an hour longer and with ads. So
yeah.
So we had some new features, some of which go back a long way. So it was a combination, and the show evolves as it goes through. And in the normal process, you know, and you discuss what worked and then you discuss what didn't work, and then the show adapts and changes, and it's different now to how it was 18 months ago. But mm-hmm. Yes, the point was to keep it as familiar as possible so that an audience could find it and they go, "Oh yeah, I remember that."
Yeah, totally, that sort of familiarity. Yeah. And you've also brought with you a lot of the team that you worked with at the BBC as well to Greatest Hits Radio. Is that important that you've got the same people around you as well? Or some of the same people.
Yeah, some of the same people. I mean, I think it was... Drive Time is a bit like Breakfast in as much as it's very much an atmosphere programme. Mm-hmm. And I'd worked very well with Matt Williams doing the sport at Radio 2. And so when I was asked to go back to Drive Time, I thought it'd be nice if we could get back together.
Yeah.
And then we were looking for a producer, and we found Susie Purdy, who I'd worked with at Radio 2 as well. And it all started falling together because we all kind of knew how each other worked. Mm-hmm. We knew what had gone before. So it needed to be a distinctive Greatest Hits version of what had done before. But yes, it helped to have familiar faces and people who you trusted.
Yeah. How have you found the change from BBC to commercial? Because to me, immediately it jumps out that you've now got to deal with adverts and shorter links and it, sort of condensing what you were doing as a show on the BBC now for commercial.
The easy way in was going via Scarlet, which is where I went to, mm-hmm. To start with. The ad breaks were quite short there and weren't that intrusive at all. It all kind of flowed, you know, pretty easily, I thought. So then when you move to pop commercial radio, we have three ad breaks, which are 4.5 minutes long. Mm-hmm. So you trail ahead a lot. You build a program that you hope people will think, I know what's coming up in 20 minutes. I know what's coming up in 25 minutes. It just means that the structure and architecture of the show is more important. But in terms of constructing the program, I've got used to it. You know, they're sort of points in the clock of the program. Mm-hmm. You know what is coming and you know when it's coming. And when you're doing something like All Request Friday, it's actually quite useful to get to that buffer because it means you can take a breath and mm-hmm. get ready for the next thing. So to answer your question specifically, it was easier than I thought it was going to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And in terms of like building the drive show in that beginning phase when you knew that you were moving to Greatest Hits Radio, did you have an idea about what you wanted the format to be, how you wanted the show to make people feel? As you've already said, it's a special time of day. People are on their way home typically.
Yeah, I didn't really. When I was asked to do it by this gentleman sitting on the front row, I thought, first of all, okay, that's exciting. I wonder what that balance is. You can't just come on and do exactly the same thing, but equally it has to be familiar. So it goes back to what I was saying earlier, that it was an exciting thing to be asked to do. I felt as though I had more to give in that particular time slot. Mm-hmm. And so it was great to get back in the water and to do it again. So I was excited with the whole brief was exciting, and to be able to assemble a three-hour program at that time of day was terrific, and I was thrilled to be asked, really.
Did you notice that you had listeners that followed you across because of that familiarity? That must
yes.
be nice.
And still, you know, yeah. I was thinking it's kind of tough on the marketing, you know, because as you might have seen, the ads for Greatest Hits have been on the side of buses and on taxis, and there's TV ads and so on, and we get loads of emails every week saying, "I found you by mistake." I found you by accident. Okay, great. But sure, you know, people are finding it all the time.
And do you feel like any of the features that you do or any of the content on the show has evolved in the 16 months that you've been doing it on air for?
Yes, I mean, the drive time drama that we do, I mean, the thing is, context is everything. When you play clips like that, you know, it's the... If you hear the last minute of a confession, you need to know what happened beforehand. So the confession is, to be honest, exactly the same. Phil McGarvey at the back there would read, at Radio 2, he'd read, how many was it a week, Phil? Like 20 or something? He'd send me, you get rid of the dross, and then would send me the ones that he thought would work, and then I'd fiddle around with them and then send them back, you know, so that was a problem. And that's exactly the way it works, uh-huh. because there isn't any other way of working that feature.
I mean, if it's not broken, don't fix it.
Yeah, and the drama started life back in breakfast show days at Radio 1 when it was called the Identikit Quiz. So we kind of mm-hmm. rebranded it and changed it and evolved it, and it's more of a kind of a theatrical thing. So it's changed, but it hasn't changed a lot, mm-hmm. I would say. I mean, the teacher feature is new, which is, you know, it's a very straightforward feature, which is basically talking about teachers and schools, just because it felt like the right time to be doing it at 4:20.
Yeah.
So that was new, but then I'm thinking, when I was on breakfast, we did a school report feature at 7:45, so and used exactly the same music. So, yes, it's I'm rehashing everything. That's the honest answer.
It's nice to rehash things. It happens so often in radio. I think it's. Do you ever get to a point where you feel like a feature might have run its course, or maybe needs to evolve, or needs to be changed slightly?
Sure. I mean, the feature is only as good as. And is fine until someone thinks of a better idea, in which case you ditch that idea and you go with a new one.
Yeah.
The thing with the confessions is that we ran it for a number of years, then it went on to the television, mm-hmm. And the people who listened to it first time round, who were going to school listening in their parents, now have kids of their own, and they're sending, you know, people keep on doing stupid things, so they keep on sending stories.
Yeah.
So as long as they're still funny and we don't get sued, then we'll carry on doing it. But if someone on the team thinks of a better idea tomorrow, we'll junk it and move on.
Yeah, I mean, clearly it's a good idea because it's become a book, it's become a podcast, it's become so much bigger than just a feature on the radio.
Yeah, four books actually. But
four books.
But basically, it's just like, tell me something embarrassing that you've done. I mean, that kind of feature can run forever.
Yeah, I mean, essentially, when you're looking for audience engagement, you want people to bring to the table something that's going to amuse others, really. So it's a great feature.
Yeah, exactly. So there are, yeah. The show's exactly the same. Is that where you wanted to get to? Yes, I thought.
But it's also evolved in certain
ways.
Evolved, and you have adverts
it's
now.
It's evolved in a way that's still very, very similar and familiar to everybody.
One of the other points that's quite clear from this conversation and the people in this room is the contacts that you've made through your career along the way, the people that you have around you on your show, the friendships on air that become so much more than a feature. And one of the first episodes that we had on the Radio Academy podcast was Jackie Brambles, and she was very, very sweet about you on the podcast and talked about how you brought her into Greatest Hits Radio. And it just struck a chord with me because it made me think, this is an amazing industry. The people we meet do become lifelong friends, and there's that opportunity for collaboration the whole way through our careers.
Yes, Jackie was, which just seemed to me an obvious hire. I'd always enjoyed working with Jackie. We play music from the 70s, 80s and 90s, so we want people who can be passionate about that. And for all the reasons we're very familiar with, there weren't a lot of women on the radio who were playing that stuff in the 70s, 80s and 90s. Janice Long was on the show when we on the network, and we lost her recently, of course. So I thought we need to get Jackie, and you know, it took a while, but now I'm very pleased that she's on. She's on just after me, so that again, it's that familiarity which radio listeners really like. So mm-hmm. I go up to 7, and Jackie's on after 7, and if anyone remembers us from back in the day, then they'll think, okay, I like this.
Well, I think it's a good time in which to open up to any questions that you guys have. Is there anyone that would like to ask Simon a question?
Unless I've worked with you.
Yeah, I'll take the microphone over.
Hello.
Greatest Hits Radio, when is the time to move on from 70s, 80s and 90s and move past the year 2000?
No idea. Ask Bauer Management, represented down here. For my money, not in the foreseeable future. Why would you? 70s, 80s and 90s gives you 3 decades of fantastic music. So I'm imagining we'll be there for the foreseeable future. And if there's a greatest hits radio which needs to be the next 3 decades, then we'll have that as a spin-off station as well. But we'll have that. Thank you. But I don't. Yeah, it's an interesting question, but I can't see it. I can't see it being practical for the moment. It also fits quite well for me. Thank you very much. So I'm hoping that the answer is not, because I joined Radio 1 exactly halfway through those 3 decades. So I'm thinking that's fine.
Hello, Simon. If there was one Hi. Radio station you had to work for a week, or rather would like to work for a week, a radio station you haven't worked at before, what radio station and what show would that be? And maybe a commercial and a BBC answer?
That's a good question. So I've never worked for them before.
Yeah.
And I just have to work there for a week.
Yeah, and you quite like the idea of it as well, preferably.
Okay. Yeah. I think I would like to present the Today programme. And I don't see any reason why not. And I'd like to do an hour on Planet Rock.
Good answer.
That's a bit of a cop-out because Rick can sort that out. And he's almost certainly going to say, we can do that. So that's a cheat, but I think I don't listen to Andrew Marr on LBC because he's on at the same time as I am, but when I go back and listen to his stuff and watch some of the stuff that they put on, some of the clips they put on social media, I quite like to do that. So I'll do an hour on LBC, Planet Rock and the Today programme. That's quite good. I quite like that.
Ambitious, yeah. I like it.
And present Newsbeat.
Thank you. Very prestigious.
Absolutely is.
Great. Have we got time for one more question, do you think? Yeah.
How are you finding the transition of the film podcaster moving to 5Live? And is that similar to the transition from BBC to commercial radio?
No, I think it's a lot easier. Because even though legally it's supposed to be a very different program, it's exactly the same. So it was awkward in as much as you become institutionalized, and I've been a part of 5Live since 2001, and it's an extraordinary station, and the film show became what it became because of the leeway and the support that it was given at 5Live. But what was happening was lockdown kind of disguised this. So the film show was recorded and then it was played out on a Friday, so I could still do the live drive time. When everything opened up, it became very difficult because you can't be live on 2 stations at the same time. And Friday was just a nightmare because I recorded an hour and 20 minutes at Greatest Hits, and then I'd do Live on 5 Live, and then I'd run from Broadcasting House to Piccadilly to, you know, it was just, this is ludicrous. So then when it was suggested that maybe there was an alternative, you know, we pursued that alternative. And the, trying not to say the media horizon has changed, but it has, and you can do podcasts outside of the BBC. And because we'd done 21 years, we kind of had a following, and so, you know, we've only been doing it for a couple of months. I don't know whether it's going to work. I hope it is. You know, the subscriptions look pretty positive at the moment. So it's been, thank you for your question. It's sort of, it's been a reassuringly straightforward transition. Kermode is staying at my house tonight because we have to make a very early start tomorrow for the record. So we can share a taxi, which means that Sony can save £25.
Great. Well, I think that wraps it all up and comes to an end. I think we covered it all, didn't we? So thank you so much for your time, Simon. Thank you, everyone,
thank
for your participation as well.
If you enjoyed that, there's plenty more from Simon Mayo on the Radio Academy website.
Yeah, correct. Members can watch the full video of that conversation. We just didn't have time to squeeze it all into this episode, but it is all good stuff.
Yeah, and next week's episode is going to be the last one from me before I hand over properly to Christian here. And I really feel like I'm going out with a bang before maternity leave with the episode that I've got lined up for it.
Welcome to Radio 3 Slow Radio, encouraging you to pause and take some time out. Today, we're experiencing what life is like from the perspective of Honey the dog.
Off you go.
A fox red Labrador who, at the age of 15, is beginning to slow down.
I mean, given we are both dog fans, Roisin, I'm very excited to hear that. You are going out on a high, for sure.
I definitely bagseed a good one, didn't I?
Brilliant. Can't wait to hear more.
Thanks for listening.